Okay, so this is something that a number of years back at one of the teen camps I was teaching, and I don't remember even exactly what I was teaching, but it was on the life that Christ came to bring, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, which is eternal life, which is spirit life. And in the process of going to the scriptures and looking at that, I found that there's these three Greek words that are used together, all three in a row, that are only translated as one English word, the word never. But it was unique to the Gospel of John. Those three Greek words together are only used in the Gospel of John every time they're translated never. But there's other words that can be translated never. And I thought it was pretty amazing. And so we're going to look at that as we go. Because it's just, I'm not going to hopefully not add too much to it and just really read it and enjoy what it's saying. Before we get there, who here knows John 3:16? Somebody, right? Someone say, go ahead. Can you say it out loud?
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Everlasting life, right. I love that verse. So God sent his Son that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you will see it in the Gospels. It comes up over and over and over again that life that our Lord Jesus Christ came to bring is that everlasting life, which is spirit life, which is what was lost in the garden. It's very simple. So where we're going to go first is John 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I'm not normally kind of a word study person in this sense, but this is really neat. So the three Greek words that are translated never as a word oume, that's the negative part. That's where it gets its negative, and it's actually a double negative. It's also used in Hebrews where it says he'll never forsake us. It's that double negative that's used there in Hebrews chapter 4, I think, but it's a double negative, and then there's the preposition eis, or into, and then the word aeon, which is eternity or age. And so where it was translated just never, it's actually never ever into eternity, or never ever forever, if you actually pick out each Greek word, which is pretty fascinating, because the word never is translated in many other sections of God's word as just one word that means never, you know. But it's fantastic and exciting to see where it shows up. So in John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 5 just to get a running start and get some context. You all are familiar with this. Verse 5, it says, Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. What a verse. Verse 11 says, The woman said unto him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? I want to stop for a minute and point out that through each of these records, you often see a difference. I'm sorry, from the way that what Jesus Christ is saying and what people are hearing. You know, he's not talking about the water that's in the well before them, right? But that's what she hears and thinks. And so oftentimes he's talking on on a spirit level. He's talking on about spiritual matters, and people are often understanding him on just simple physical level. And so we go on. Verse 12 says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water," referring to the water in the well, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And here's the verse where we have our word never. It's, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never ever in eternity thirst." Isn't that wild? Never, and that's that three Greek words translated to one word. It's just thrilling. "Whosoever drinks the water that I will give him will never ever." It's very emphatic. "But the water will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let's look at another one, John 8. We're just going to stick pretty much in John today. John chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse... Yeah, let's see, where do I want to start here? Help to get into chapter 8. Let's start in verse 48, again, to get a running start. This is shortly after he had just... they had tried to frame him with the woman who was caught in adultery. They tried to get him mixed up. And he's kind of going back and forth here with the religious leaders of the time. Verse 48 says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Remember what back from chapter 4, what the Jews thought of the Samaritans, right? They weren't really accepted. And he's like, and here the religious leaders are saying, "Hey, we've said it, and it's right. You're a Samaritan, and you have a devil." You're possessed. Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." There's that word again. "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Okay? "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death." Again, are these guys seeing this on a spirit level, or are they just simply looking at it from flesh and bone, right? Because they're saying, look, Abraham's, better than you, and he's dead. So who are you to say that if someone keeps your word that they'll never die? And that word is used, again, they use those same three words when they say never taste of death here. Very emphatic back at him. But let's not miss what he said. Verse 51 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death, never ever in the ages die." Isn't that cool? Never ever. All right, let's go to another one. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 14. This is cool. This is coming off the section where he talks about giving that. Well, we could read it. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Our Lord Jesus Christ came to bring life. Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again amongst the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath the devil. So that sounds new, right? And is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was in Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that awesome? These sheep he's speaking about, those that hear his voice and follow him, would never perish. Never, ever, in eternity perish. Awesome. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 18. Everyone's probably familiar with this record. This is where Lazarus had died, and the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately went and raised him from the dead, and he had indeed died physically. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes? That's awesome. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. But what a verse. Verse 25 again, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What kind of life did our Lord Jesus Christ come to bring? It's eternal life. Life that never, ever in eternity will end. One that will never, ever in eternity perish. It's the water that you drink of that you will never, ever in eternity thirst again. Isn't that awesome? That's very simple, and it's just so, so awesome. Go to John chapter 13. Now here's one where this same three words are used by a different man, not Jesus in this case. Chapter 13, verse 1. We're going to read it. Again, a familiar record. Such a special one. Verse 1, it says, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And I think we're all familiar with this, that this action of washing the feet was very, you know, in a sense, degrading to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is, the Lord and the Master, and he's kneeling down to wash the feet, that task of the lowest servant in the house. And you can understand culturally how that would be uncomfortable, right? It'd be uncomfortable for Peter to receive that from his Lord. But our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself to the point of death and gave himself, and God gave him on a cross for us, you know, so that we can receive him and have eternal life. Pretty amazing. Talk about humbling yourself. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, verse 7, you don't know now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. There's that word. He said, You will never, ever in eternity wash my feet. And look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered him, If I wash you not, you have no part with me. You want to have part with me? I'm going to have to cleanse you. Right? And how many times previous to this point that he had said, you know, whoever believes on me, you hear my words and, you know, does my word, drinks of this water, never ever in eternity. You know, Peter says, you'll never ever in eternity wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash you, you don't have a part with me. I wonder sometimes there's something more there that Jesus is saying than just the simple act of washing his feet. That cleansing. Pretty amazing. We're going to look at some others, but you know, just to go back, John 4 said that whoever drinks would never thirst. John 8, that they would never see death. John 10, would never perish. John 26, would never die. Okay? Now, it's a easy enough question to ask, but why then do people, you know, people pass away here in this life, right? Do they not? They do, right? People die. But the life that our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about is the spirit life, is that eternal life that he came to bring. Something that is so encouraging to know and to see is that when you got born again, you received that eternal life. And that life is what makes you who you are. It's the image of God in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. It is the life that, it is the only true life. You know, this, my breath life is something. It is a life. It is a form of life, my physical and my, but when Adam ate of the tree, God says he died. You see? That day he died. In the day that he ate thereof, he would surely die. And then he promised the Savior that would come. And the Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's come and he's now poured out that Holy Spirit. And all those who believe on him should never, ever, in eternity, die. What are we talking about? Spirit. The Spirit. Because that is it's a gift to you. And it's incorruptible seed, as it says in Peter. Isn't that wild? And so your eternal life started the day you got born again. And this time period that we have on this earth is just one time period amongst other time periods that we're going to have eternal life in. And there may come a point, if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetime, that we close our eyes and we fall asleep for a short period of time. But there's coming that gathering day when the Lord will come and he'll gather us to himself. And then we will continue in our eternal life out into the next ages to come. not fascinating, just exciting? And to know that, that's yours. It's a gift. It's eternal life. Jesus said it, thought it was a really clear, I don't know why I didn't write it down, but in John chapter 6, there's a verse where he says, whosoever eats of my flesh and drinks my blood shall have eternal life. And then he says, and I shall raise him up at the last day. Isn't that cool? Well, why would you need to raise them up if they were, you know, living path in the flesh, right? Well, that, of course, it's quite obvious that there's that spirit life that he's talking about, and that he would raise up then the body at a later point. Go to John 17. What a hope we have. What a life we've been given. It's incredible. You know, and we have the manifestation of the Spirit now, where we see it in physical evidence. But this thing is, there's no greater gift. John 17, verse 1, and this is a prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is just a fantastic verse and section here. He's saying, you've given me, essentially, right? Him referring to himself, power over all flesh, that he, referring to himself, should give eternal life to as many as God has given him. And then it says, and this is life eternal. And I believe, to the best of my ability, as I understand this, is this life eternal. And that word that there is translated other places with the concept of so that. In other words, this is life eternal. He's giving life eternal so that we could know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It's with that sense of so that. Pretty awesome. And there might be an ellipsis in there too. I'm not sure, where you can see little figure of speech. Give eternal life to as many as has given him, and this is life eternal. That eternal life that he's has to give, that's life eternal. It's just repeating again what it is that he's giving. And the purpose is that we might know God and his son Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Isn't that awesome? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation, or our way of life, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It was by nature, because without spirit, our nature was to be of the flesh and blood, right? And all that flesh and blood had was to lust after the things of flesh and blood. But God, this is the big but, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages, that aeon, that eternity to come, he might show or demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That Spirit of God, which is eternal life, which is a gift given to us, we will never, ever in eternity die. We don't lose it. We will never, ever in eternity thirst again. And forever and ever in eternity, we will be getting to know our God and our great Lord. And it'll redound to his glory and praise. It's pretty awesome. So that's what I wanted to share.